I've always been a fan of free open source software, probably from the first time I got introduced to it. The concept alone has always been something that has interested me. And so I'm thrilled to see finally that there is a kind of GUI Linux that is on its way to being, you know, on a par with what you have in Windows and Mac world. It's a little immature still, but, you know, I think the more people who adopt it, the sooner that may change. And the distribution that I'm going to use is called Vinux. The project's website is www.vinux-project.org, wherein you'll find links to download the ISOs of various flavors, the documentation, including a very good quick start guide, which, if you read it first, should have you up and running, at least doing basic things very quickly. Vinux is based on a distribution of Linux called Ubuntu. Well, Ubuntu is a Linux distribution which, on its own, has the accessibility, but you need the accessibility in order to turn it on in the typical Ubuntu setup. So what Tony Sales, who is a teacher at the RNIB school in the UK, has done is create a remix of Ubuntu, if you will, that includes the Orca screen reader, which provides magnification, speech, and support for Braille displays, of which I don't have a Braille display right now, and I don't have the list of supported displays. It's whatever the program called Braille TTY supports. In addition to the Orca screen reader, the SpeakUp screen reader is part of Vinux, and that allows access to the native console, not the GUI. In fact, SpeakUp starts talking before the GUI is even loaded. The difference being that the native console would be akin to starting up and going right to the command line instead of loading Windows, if you could still do such a thing. There's also the GNOME terminal, which is like running a command line inside Windows. Ubuntu, and especially Linux, is designed to be run either inside Windows in a virtual, as a guest OS, which a lot of people exercise that option. It can be run alongside Windows, in other words, in another partition that can be made bootable, another file system on the same drive, or another drive. Or I have, on this machine I brought with me, I have nothing but Linux on here. I bought it and I threw away the Windows that's on it. Took about an hour to get Linux up and running from start to finish, and I could do it totally eyes-free. Another thing, Linux, because it's a Linux volume, it also can serve as a rescue volume. There are a number of people on our Linux mailing list who are IT-type people who are blind or partially sighted that use it as a forensics, a sort of recovery disk in their work. Now, I've got the machine running here. SpeakUp is also on, but mainly I'm going to show Orca today. A lot of what I show you will be familiar from, well, in a way, it kind of looks like older versions of Windows, the way you interact with it. This is an EEPC 1015P netbook. It's kind of my substitute for a note taker. It's my $300 note taker as opposed to $1,300, and it's more computer. Anyway, I've got a couple of icons here. I'm in the desktop right now, on which I have two launchers that I made, one for Firefox and one for T-Bird. Those together make a nice team of web browser and email / RSS / Usenet programs. You may be familiar with T-Bird. The Mozilla suite, Orca works pretty well with it in general. The file manager thing is called Nautilus, and it said X Nautilus desktop, and I've got the two icons in a column that I added. So I'll go to the menus here, the top level menus of the system. I'll do Alt F1 to bring up the menus.
Main menu, button menu.
And we'll go down.
Accessories, menu,
To expand the menu, I go to the right. This is a change from the regular Ubuntu. Linux put all the menus down the left column to make it so that you could magnify it if you wanted to. You'd have room. Because the typical Ubuntu has across the top application systems and places. But here we've got it in a column, so we have accessories.
Education, games, graphics. Internet, office, men, the office productivity, programming, men, science, men, sound and video. System tools, universal access, wine, menu, places, menu, system, menu, lock screen, L, logout gate, .. L, shutdown, .. accessories, menu, A, and advanced.
Okay, so back on accessories, if I open accessories, I go to the right one.
Oh. Calculator.
I'm using the arrow keys, and in cases where I'm using screen reader specific keys, I have to use the FN plus, like for example, for home, I have to use FN plus left arrow because it's a netbook. And I have Orca in the laptop layout, which, because I don't have a keypad, things are mapped off the insert key instead. They're on the caps lock key. And so here's accessories we got.
CD/DVD, character map, this music analyzer, D, file browser, F, D, best clips, D, edit text editor, D, D shutdown, D, DTK hash, D, D write, D, manage print jobs. Passwords and encryption key, Kemu launcher, Q, screenlets, S, search for files, .. Search for files or folders, S. CD Opera window snapshot, S. Take screenshot, D. Terminal, D. Doom boy notes, D. Tux commander, D. Virtual boxer SE, V. Virus Scanner, V. Manage Virtual Machine Config, an Advanced Shutdown Utility, CD/DVD Creator, C.
Okay, so we're back up. It went around.
Accessories.
Now if we go
menu,
back to accessories, we go down to...
Education, menu.
Education has nothing in there right now because a lot of the education software isn't really accessible. There's Ubuntu has a whole suite of programs that collectively is known as Edubuntu, and I work with a group of people at the Harvard Medical School. We take old laptops and we put Ubuntu on them, and we put the educational suite on them, and we're sending them to an orphanage in Mexico for their school, and they're using Ubuntu instead of Windows. They're not using accessibility, although one of the machines does have it. We left it on there and let them know that it's for a blind VI student that might need it.
Games menu.
So games.
DOS box emulator.
Games has DOS. I'm not sure why DOS box emulator is under games. That's a little funny. I wouldn't have put it there. I guess they're thinking old DOS games. I don't know.
Play on Linux. D.
Play on Linux, which is probably not. I haven't played with that.
RS Games Client.
RS Games Client, which I do use a lot. It's a card/board games website that's cross-platform client. They've got it for Mac, Windows, and Linux. It's a little like All in Play, but it's free. And you can play with people online and stuff, like you can on All in Play. It's got Yahtzee, Uno, and Blackjack so far.
Games.
So get out of that.
Graphics. Menu.
Graphics won't be of much interest to us, probably. It's got the Photoshop thing and some other stuff that we won't really be able to use.
Internet. Menu. FTP.
Internet has an FTP client that's kind of like FileZilla, if you guys are familiar with that.
Seni
is a console mode internet connections manager, troubleshooter sort of program.
Chromium web browser. Z.
Chromium now ships with the new Ubuntu, but it's really not usable by us too much.
Dropbox. D.
Dropbox, you're all familiar with Dropbox. I find it indispensable, and I'm thrilled it works in Linux. It saved me. Dropbox, it's a file share /sync utility. Everything you do in the Dropbox folder under your on your documents or wherever you put it, it gets synced automatically online so that you can go to another computer that has your Dropbox account on it next and work on those files. So, for instance, I have an iMac and this machine, and if I work on something here, like for the Vinix documentation project or whatever, and then I want to continue working on it on the iMac for some reason, since I put it in Dropbox, it's there. It's very nice. And you can also share with colleagues, and you can publish. I've got stuff in the public folder of Dropbox, and you can send the link to people. You can kind of use it the way people used to use things like YouSendIt.
Yeah, and SendSpace.
And SendSpace and all that stuff.
Elinx web browser.
Now, Elinx is a text mode web browser.
Empathy IM client.
Empathy IM client is kind of like ADM on the Mac or Miranda.
So E-Links, is that like the old Lynx?
No, it's Lynx as in the chain, not the cat, as we used to say.
Okay.
It's E-L-I-N-K-S.
Okay.
And I think it's got some minimal JavaScript support and a little more display support than the old L-Y-N-X,
right.
The chain.
Right.
Italy web browser, E. Firefox web browser, F.
There's our friend Firefox, or if we all know what that is.
GWGET download manager.
GWGET is another sort of raw download manager that some people like.
Mangler, M.
Mangler is a Ventrilo client for Linux and Mac, by the way.
What's Ventrilo?
It's a voice conferencing system, kind of like TeamTalk. M-A-N-G-L-E-R.
Mozilla Thunderbird mail/news.
And Mozilla Thunderbird.
Internet.
So that's the internet.
Office menu.
Office has... We have almost a drop-in replacement for Microsoft Office here called LibreOffice, as in free. By the way, everything on here is free, except Skype is the only thing that's not free software. Everything else on here is totally open-source GNU software. It costs nothing, and I can distribute it, I can copy it, I can do what I want.
Now, David, why isn't Skype free, considering that it's free on Windows?
Well, it's not really free on Windows either. It's free as in you don't have to pay for it, but it's not free as in you can... I'm not allowed to distribute Skype, technically.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know,
okay.
I'm not allowed to modify Skype,
right, okay,
certainly.
I see what you're saying.
And I'm not allowed to include it. In fact, Ubuntu can't include it in the distro. They can link to it, but they're not allowed to include it because it would violate IP stuff, because it's a commercial product. But so many people talk, I've got too many friends on Skype and I haven't weaned them all off. So.
How accessible is the latest version of Skype with this distribution?
Skype for Linux is one thing I'll back up a little bit, and I'll say that Skype and other applications for Linux, there are two basic graphical toolkits that are in use. GTK, which is the one that GNOME and Orca play nicely with, and then there's the other one called Qt or KDE desktop. Qt applications are not really accessible with Orca yet. Now that may change in GNOME 3 and Orca, you know, the Orca that corresponds with GNOME 3. But Skype is accessible by means of another program. Are you familiar with the Skype API that lets you run things like Skype Talking and Clisk, all that jazz? Or even the Skype plugin for Miranda? You can control Skype for Linux with Orca if you use Pigeon, which is another instant messenger that I actually prefer over Empathy. Pigeon as in Pigeon English, not birds. It's P-I-D-G-I-N. They call it that, I guess, because it talks to all these messenger protocols.
Other menu,
and
no.
Skype is accessible that way.
Office.
So we'll go to Office, and we have Dictionary, which is accessible.
Evolution Mail and Calendar.
Evolution Mail is a drop-in replacement for Microsoft Outlook.
Is that accessible?
I have trouble with some of the calendaring stuff. Thunderbird's a hell of a lot better, thank you, Al.
So if you need to get like Exchange access, what?
I think you can use T-Bird with Exchange access with an extension. Evolution has Exchange access if you need to talk to an Exchange server. Evolution really is meant to be a drop-in replacement complete with bloat for Outlook. And it works well with the OpenOffice stuff. You know, it's part of OpenOffice, kind of. And I've got
LibreOffice.
There's a top-level LibreOffice from which you can pick, you know, LibreOffice database, LibreOffice Word, LibreOffice Draw, all that jazz. LibreOffice, by the way, will recognize and manipulate and create PDFs as well as, you know, the Microsoft Office format documents. I'm sure there are some idiosyncrasies because, you know, they probably had to reverse engineer some of the Microsoft formats and whatnot for LibreOffice. LibreOffice Write is mostly accessible. LibreOffice Calc, which is Excel, that's kind of accessible. LibreOffice Impress, which is PowerPoint, is not. I haven't figured out how to use it. I use Pandoc for writing, and my preference would actually be to use LaTeX, but I don't know it well enough yet. So LibreOffice Write works. LibreOffice Draw doesn't do a whole lot for us. LibreOffice Math I haven't tried. But again, if I wanted to do Math ML, I'd use LaTeX, which is an open source markup standard.
What's the incentive for improving the accessibility on the ones that aren't, and who's doing that? Since obviously this is, you know, Linux is an open source community.
There's the Orca community, which is Joan Marie Diggs and a few others who I can't think of by name. Joan Marie is like kind of the leader right now, because Willie Walker has kind of fallen off the radar a bit. So Joan Marie has picked it up, a lot of that up, the coordination of it. I think Michael Gorse is doing some stuff for Orca, for GNOME 3 mainly. He works for Novell. At the same time, we kind of have to meet in the middle. Mozilla and some of these other communities have to do some of their part too. And sometimes that can be, as you know, the same situation with Apple product software vendors. Sometimes that can take a little bit. They need to be nudged. But I think if people adopt it, that'll speed things up. I've seen it happen already. You know, now that Vinix is out there, a lot of people are considering Vinix now that wouldn't have touched Linux before. You actually have a system that you can do non-trivial things with right away in Vinix, where that wasn't the case with the likes of, you know, the old Slackware, for instance, where you had to spend days building it before you could use it.
So is it a question of putting, you know, for Mozilla or whatever, for putting hooks into these programs so that Vinix will be able to use them?
The way it sort of works, the other applications have to drive the accessibility. There's an accessibility API that's part of GNOME, that ATSPI, it's called Assistive Technology Service Provider Interface or something like that. You know, the programs need to expose the right stuff to at ATSPI for Orca or some other screen reader to pick it up. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. For example, Google Chrome is totally not usable.
Now, are there guidelines that have been published out there that tell these people developing Google Chrome or whatever the program how to expose this stuff so that...
Well, there are. It's public. And the whole source of the, you know, AtSpy is public, is open. Sometimes I don't know what it takes to compel somebody to actually care enough, like Google. You know, they're known for their stuff online, too. Sometimes it'll work. You go check it the next day. They change the interface, like Google Docs, for example.
Programming menu.
Programming has something called Exerciser, which is a program that developers can use to see, you know, or you can use to see what a program exposes to the AtSpy. It's called Exerciser. And people who are writing scripts for Orca use that so they can.
Science, menu, S.
Science has one program that is accessible on it that gives you the table of the elements. You can put in an element and it gives you its symbol and its weight and all that stuff.
Sound and video, menu,
Sound
S.
and video
media,
has
Audacious, A.
Audacious, which is kind of like Winamp. And as far as I know, it's accessible, though I don't use it.
Audacious GTQ, A.
Audacious GTK UI, which is a front end for it.
Audacity, A.
Audacity, maybe you all know what that is. It's the same editor, same Audacity editor that you can get for Windows that's open source.
Do you know if it's accessible?
It can be used, but it takes a lot of practice and it takes memorizing of a ton of keyboard shortcuts because a lot of the objects aren't readily accessible, but if you know keyboard shortcuts, you can do things.
Okay.
I understand that people who want to do a lot of multi-track stuff have a real hard time, though. If you're working on one track, you know, you can probably do okay. I was talking to Tim about this before the meeting started. There are better tools for assembling. If you have a bunch of component audio pieces and you want to mix and render and stuff like that, there are tools like Sox and EcoSound and stuff like that that can help you with that kind of assembly.
Audio CD extractor, A.
Audio CD extractor, which, you know, is a CD ripper.
Brazero disc burner, B.
Brazero is the opposite. Can make a CD.
Cheese webcam booth, C.
Cheese webcam booth lets you take either a still or a short video. And that is accessible, by the way. GE speaker is something that lets you send the contents of a text file through eSpeak and save it. You know, you can save it as an MP3 or whatever. Or an AUG.
Gnome player, D.
Gnome player is yet another media player.
GNU Solfege,
G. Not sure what that one is. GNU Solfege.
GTK Pod iPod Manager, G.
GTK Pod iPod Manager is an iPod sync thing.
GTK Record My Desktop, G.
GTK Record My Desktop is something that lets you do screencasts with audio. So it turns on the mic on your PC, and it also, it's kind of like screenshot, but it's continuous stream, and as long as it's running, it records.
ISO Master, I. Joe Kosher Audio Editor, J.
Joe Kosher is another audio editor, which I haven't played with. I'm told it's a little more accessible. It better be. It's kosher. It's certified. Or maybe it should be revoked.
Movie Player, M.
Movie Player is an audio and video player.
Pitivi Video Editor, P.
Pitivi is a free video editor.
Pulse Audio Device Chooser, P.
Pulse Audio Device Chooser is a kind of software mixer controller thing that lets you route the output of applications to different sound cards if you had more than one.
What menu with all these guys in?
This is in sound and video.
Okay.
Pulse Audio Volume Control, P.
Pulse Audio Volume Control is a lesser version of Pulse Audio Device Chooser.
Rhythmbox Music Player, R.
Now, Rhythmbox is what I like to use most when I'm in the GUI land. It's a kind of iTunes replacement. You know, it keeps a library of your music, and it lets you shuffle and, you know, select things to play, make, you know, different playlists out of them, and all that kind of stuff.
Sound Converter, S.
Sound Converter is a GUI version of Sox that lets you convert among all the different formats. It's kind of like using Goldwave in batch mode, I suppose, or using Switch?
Switch.
Right. NCH Switch.
Convert
it's more like
MP3
Switch.
To Wave or whatever.
Yeah, it's more like NCH Switch, I guess, than Goldwave.
Sound Recorder, S.
Sound Recorder does what you'd expect. It's a basic no-editors recorder. The only difference is it'll run forever, unlike the Windows one, I think, that gives you a minute. The GNOME Sound Recorder will run forever. You could fill your drive with this, you know, sound.
Thoggan DVD Ripper, D.
Thoggan
Music and Video on an Apple iPod.
Thoggan DVD Ripper is a DVD ripper.
Transmageddon Video Transcoder.
And Transcoder is the same thing, but for video formats, it's kind of like NCH Switch.
Tux Guitar, D.
Tux Guitar, I don't know what that is.
VLC Media Player, V.
VLC, you may know. I think you can use it as a streaming server as well. If I'm not mistaken, you can stream with VLC, I think.
I've used it with the old on the radio station, not only radio station, things over now, I can't seem to get it active.
Well, you can use M encoder to do the same thing if you want to do it console wise.
Audacious, A.
And now we're back to Audacious.
Video. System tools.
So system tools has
@remove... Bleachbit.
Bleachbit is a disk cleanup sort of kind of like C cleaner. You know, gets rid of cruft on the system.
DOS emulator. B.
DOS emulator is under here too. It's the same DOS emulator.
File browser root, F.
File browser root. Now that's running Nautilus, but as root instead of as me.
GTK disk free, G.
GTK.
PC man file manager, D.
PC man is an alternative to Nautilus that I've never used. It's supposed to be cleaner.
What is Nautilus?
It's kind of the equivalent of Windows Explorer.
Ubuntu customization kit, U.
That's like Tweak UI kind of thing. Ubuntu customization kit.
Unet bootin, U.
Unet bootin is what is one of the ways you can make flash drive bootable volumes out of ISOs.
@remove... System tools. Universal access. Menu.
Universal access has
Dasher, D.
Dasher, which is, I think that's an on-screen keyboard thing if you have a touchscreen.
Disable 3D desktop, D.
Disable 3D desktop.
Easy stroke gesture recognition.
Oh, easy stroke is a gesture recognizer.
G
GXNR, I don't know.
Mousetrap, M.
Mousetrap. I don't know if that's like mouse keys on the Mac.
Orca Screen Reader and Magnifier, O.
That's what we're listening to. Orca Screen Reader and Magnifier.
Restore Speech, R.
Restore Speech is a script that you sometimes have to run when you break the speech subsystem. Suffice it to say that if you break it and you can't get it to talk again, you run Restore Speech.
Well, actually, you can do it from the keyboard.
Well, it's easier to do it from the keyboard. It's much easier to do it from the keyboard if you have to. Yeah, you could do it from the console.
Dasher, D. Universal Access, Wine, Menu, W.
Wine is a sort of Windows emulator. It doesn't let you run a Windows session per se, but it lets you run a Windows app. For instance, I know some people who run Liam Irvin's games in Wine. You know, self-voicing apps. I suppose you could run Kurzweil in Wine if you wanted to. I don't know.
It presents the Windows API.
It's the API, yeah.
There's some Duxbury programs that will run.
Probably.
But Duxbury, like...
The full-blown Duxbury won't, because it needs the whole front end and, you know. But you could run the Duxbury back end, I suppose. I think you could run Kurzweil. I don't know that Wine would have access to Sane and all that jazz for your scanner, but I know you can do some self... I know people who run self-voicing games in Wine.
Places, menu, B.
Now, places is one that's got...
Home folder, H.
Home folder, that's that in my case, that's /home/Dave. That's my user's folder.
Desktop, D.
Desktop is where we were, the desktop folder.
Documents, D.
Documents.
Music, M.
Music.
Pictures, D. Videos,
pictures,
D.
Videos.
Downloads, D.
Download.
Computer, D.
Computer, that's where you access your drives.
Network, N.
Network.
Connect to server. Dot, 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 C.
Connect to server. That's if you, that's a one way to connect to things like Windows shares, FTP servers, and you'd have the Nautilus. You could do like cut, copy, and paste, and delete, and all that in the GUI fashion, but connected to a network, so you don't have to worry about messing with the command line FTP or that sort of stuff.
Search for files. Dot, 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 S.
Search for files is also here. Search is your drive for a file.
Recent documents. Menu. Home folder, H.
See, that's a little bit like WinXP's home, kind of.
System, menu, S.
And system has
preferences,
things
menu,
like preferences.
D. Assign shortcut keys to command, about me, A.
Okay, preferences has a bunch of things. About me, that tells you that it's, you know, it's Ubuntu 10.04, LTS, blah, blah, blah.
Appearance, A.
Appearance lets you play with the desktop themes and...
Assistive technologies, A.
Assistive technologies, where you can shut Orca off if you want, if you don't want him to come up anymore.
Bluetooth, B. Compiz config settings manager, C.
Now, Compiz is another magnifier. Orca has a magnifier, but there's another one. If your machine is 3D graphics capable, you can run this Compiz magnifier as well. That's included in Vinix. I think that's something Tony added to it.
IBUS references, I. Keyboard, K.
Keyboard lets you change things like the layout, the key map, and that stuff.
Keyboard shortcuts.
Okay. Keyboard shortcuts. In addition to or instead of that launcher or any of these menu launchers, I could go in and assign hotkeys to start apps. And there's a bunch to find in Vinix.
Main menu, M.
Main menu is where you configure the menu. I could change this whole menu tree if I wanted to. I would do it in main menu under preferences. I could remake this whole menu tree if I wanted to do that. Make it look the way I want it to.
Messaging and phone ID accounts, M. Monitors, M. Mouse, M. Nautilus scripts manager, N. Network connections, N. Network proxy, N. Open JDK Dharma 6 policy to personal file sharing. Power management. P. Preferred applications. P. Pulse audio preferences. P. Change which application. Remote desktop. R. Manage message. Screensaver. S. Set your mouse preferences. Startup applications. S.
And startup applications is where you tell it what to load when you log in.
Ubuntu 1. U.
Ubuntu 1 is an Ubuntu-specific sort of replacement for Dropbox that nobody I know uses. Everybody I know uses Dropbox.
Windows. W. Administration, menu,
and administration,
A. Administration, CD, A.
Administration has the stuff to, you know, let you fix your computer if you don't want to use the command line.
Boot up manager, B.
Boot up manager lets you configure what starts at startup, not login, but before login.
Computer janitor, C.
Computer janitor is an older cleanup program, but I think BleachBit does more.
Disk utility, D.
Disk utility.
File backup manager, F. File configuration. Departed, G. Hardware drivers, H.
Gparted is a partitioner. If you want to add multiple OSs in the machine or stuff like that, you'd use gparted to partition the drive.
Install release, I.
Install release is the installer. If I wanted to install this Ubuntu on another drive, I could do it from this option.
Language support, L.
Language.
Log file viewer, L. Login screen, L. Network tools, F. Printing, D. Remaster sys backup. Software sources, S. Startup disk creator, startup manager, F. Synaptic package manager, S.
Synaptic package. package manager. That is a GUI way to browse what's available. There's like 30,000 titles available, applications, and you can choose which ones to load or unload or check for upgrades or all kinds of stuff in the GUI. Instead of the command line way to do it is with this, the apt set of commands, apt get, but Synaptic is the one of the GUI ways to do it. The other one is called add and remove. You could use that too, but I think Synaptic is a little more powerful.
System monitor, S.
System monitor lets you show things like your CPU usage, your memory, and your stuff. You can have that show up as a notification on the screen, too.
Time and date, D. Update manager, users and groups, U. Configure printers, Win. Configure third party and boot up manager, V.
Okay, so we're done with the menus, I think, as far as this goes. And we'll go back to the desktop. I'll do Control-Alt-D for desktop.
Firefox desktop config, debug desktop configuration.
And I'll show you some other things you can cycle through. If I do Control-Alt-D again, I'm on the panel, which is kind of, it's a kind of combination of the system tray, and I'm not sure quite what else.
Are those Control-Alt-D, is that just part of the operating system, or is that a hotkey that you assign?
I didn't define that one. Control-Alt-D is a GNOME hotkey. It's one that any system that's running GNOME should have that, unless somebody disabled it. And on the panel, we've got, I can tab.
Panel notification area. Panel.
Notification area, that's where things that other people might think of as help balloons might show up.
GNOME weather panel.
GNOME weather panel, I have it set for the weather in Watertown. If I hit spacebar, it should give us the weather.
Space, detailed city, often last update, sat, Feb 12/1354 conditions, sky, overcast temperature, 37.4 degrees F feels like, 26.3 degrees F viewpoint, 21.2 degrees F relative humidity, 52% wind, west-southwest/20.0 knots pressure, 29.68 in HD visibility, 10.0 miles sunrise, 6:42 sunset, 17:09, current conditions. Page.
I mean, if I right arrow, I think, to get to the next tab, it'll show me the forecast.
Forecast. Page. Forecast report. Read-only text. Highs in the lower 50s.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. If I do ORCA key plus semicolon, it should read this whole screen.
This afternoon, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow showers. Highs in the upper 30s. Southwest winds 15 to 20 mph. Gusts up to 30 mph. Chance of snow 50%. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 15, west winds 15 to 20 mph, gusts up to 30 mph in the evening. Sunday, partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-30s, southwest winds 10 to 15 mph, gusts up to 25 mph in the afternoon, chance of snow 30%. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and not as cool, near steady, temperature in the lower 30s, southwest winds 10 to 15 mph.
Okay, I'm going to stop that. I don't know why it reads that in the uppercase voice. That's the uppercase voice for some reason. Well, I'm going to get out of the weather applet. I added the weather applet. There's a place where you can get these panel applets, and one of them is weather. There are a couple of other ones. There's timer and alarm clock that I can show you how to add one, but I'm going to go further on this.
Main menu button. Orca screen reader slash magnifier. Toggle
button. Here's the apps that are running. Orca screen reader. If I hit the space bar here, it would switch focus to it.
Dropbox 1.0.10 all files up to date. Icon. Dropbox 1.0.10 all files up to date. Output. 77% 6.95 dB internal audio analog stereo.
These are system tray things. That's my volume. That's my graphical volume control. I could hit space and expand that and play with it.
Wireless network connection, auto MIT guest active, mid guest 100%, icon.
That's my Wi-Fi. If I hit space on that, it would bring down the list of Wi-Fis that it can hear. And below the Wi-Fis would be Ethernet if it was plugged in, or VPN connections if there were any as well.
Panel notification area, panel. No weather, panel, panel. Main menu, button.
Now, since we're plugged in, my battery indicator doesn't show up. It's fully charged and I'm on the main, so I don't have a battery power indicator. We'll go to Orca itself and show you how you can configure Orca, the screen reader itself.
Orca screen reader slash magnifier. Orca screen reader slash magnifier. Frame. Preferences. Button.
Now, preferences is the first button. I'll tab. It said Alt-P. I have speak accelerator keys turned on in the preference.
Quit. Button. Alt-Q. About. Button. Alt-A. Help. Button. Alt-H. Preferences. Button. Alt-P.
Now, I'll hit preferences and I'll go through the tabs.
Space. Starting Orca preferences.
Come on.
Orca preferences. Tab list. General. Page.
Here's general. We have
keyboard layout, panel, laptop, selected radio button, Alt-L.
Okay, and I can go to the left.
Desktop, selected radio button, Alt-V. Laptop, selected radio button, Alt-L.
We want it on laptop.
With auto without confirmation, checkbox not checked, Alt-W.
And again, I would act as you might expect on a checkbox.
To move to these controls,
I'm tabbing. Tab.
Disable GKSU keyboard RAM, checkbox checked, Alt-K.
Disable GKSU, well, I'm not going to touch that one any further.
Present tooltips, checkbox not checked.
Present tooltips is not checked.
Show auto main window. Checkbox checked. Alt M.
I remember there's a JAWS setting where you can have it not put the JAWS window on the screen in the Alt tab order.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as what this does. If I uncheck that, the Orca window would go away. And I'd have to bring it up with Orca space, Orca key space to get to the preferences.
Start auto menu login. Checkbox checked. Alt G.
That's checked.
See context under mouse. Checkbox not checked. Alt U. Time format, 3:16:02 p.m. Date format, 02 profile, panel, load, button, save as. Startup profile, detail, button, apply, button, alt A, cancel, button, okay, button, general, page.
Okay, here's general.
Speech, page.
Speech is where you would do what you might expect. You can change the parameters of the voice.
Enable speech, checkbox check, speech system, speech dispatcher, combo box, alt S.
Speech dispatcher as a kind of middleware. It might be equivalent of Sappy, but I don't want to generalize too much. If I had other options, for instance, I could have GNOME speech services as another option for the speech system.
Speech synthesizer, default synthesizer, combo box, alt Z.
Speech synthesizer is a default. Now, to activate a combo box, I would hit space.
Space, window, speech, page, speech synthesizer, combo box, default synthesizer, e-speak, W. Default synthesizer, eSpeak, W, default synthesizer.
And we have eSpeak and
speech,
it just so happens that on mine, eSpeak and the default synthesizer are the same.
Dummy
is kind of a stub used for debugging. It writes the speech dispatcher log, and it says something funny. It says, it'll just keep continuously saying, this is the dummy output module. None of my, it seems your speech dispatcher is working, but none of its output modules except me. Please check the log and, you know, for, to see what's going on, and it tells you.
Voice settings, default, combo box, alt V.
Now here's the default voice, here are my choices. Here,
taste,
another
window,
combo
teach,
box.
Page, voice settings, combo box, default, uppercase, hyperlink, system, default.
Now there's default, uppercase, hyperlink, and system. And if I set it, for example, to
uppercase,
taste,
auto preferences, teach, page. Voice settings, uppercase, combo box.
Now it's going to let me configure the settings for the uppercase voice. And the same for the hyperlink voice if I change that, so.
Speech synthesizer, default synth, voice settings, uppercase, combo box.
Now if I wanted to, I mean there's no reason I couldn't have, for example, I could have another synthesizer entirely for uppercase if I wanted to, I guess, if I had one. When you get Vinix, or Ubuntu for that matter, you only get eSpeak. You can get other open source ones, such as Festival, Flight. There are also drivers for things like Evona and Swift, but they obviously can't provide Evona and Swift. You have to buy those. And ViaVoice, which is also called Voxen, ViaVoice Out Loud.
Tape window, teach, page, voice settings, combo box, default.
So then
auto reference person, default voice pen, combo
now,
box,
person,
alt D.
There's a whole bunch of different people and languages in here. There's
taste,
like
window, teach, page, person, combo box, default voice pen, Afrikaans af, Bosnian BS, Catalan car, Czech CS, Welsh test side, Danish car, German the, Greek L, default pen, and Scottish pen, English pen, Lancashire pen, English underscore RP pen, English underscore W bits pen.
There's like a ton of different UK regional accents.
English pen, and West Indies pen, Esperanto Bio,
Esperanto,
Spanish bees, Spanish Latin American bees. Finnish type, French FR, French Belgium, Greek ancient DRC,
ancient Greek, that's funny.
Kinder test pie, Croatian HR, Hungarian poo, Armenian pie, Armenian West pie, Indonesian test ID, Icelandic test is, Italian bit, Lofman David Kurdish coup, Latin lap, Latvian elf, Macedonian tech, Latvian, Dutch test, Ener, Norwegian, no, Pedro test, Polish, PL, Brazil, PT, Portugal, Romanian, Russian underscore test, Slovak, SK, Albanian, SK, Serbian, SR, Swedish, SV, Swahili test, Tamil, TAR, Turkish, TR, Vietnam test, Roman, Mandarin, ZH, Cantonese, ZH. Default voice pen.
How good are some of the other
taste,
voices?
Preferences, speech,
I can't
page.
Say because I don't speak the other languages well enough.
But I mean, even some of the English ones that.
Afrikaans is kind of funny. West Indies sounds. Yeah, man, it sounds okay. Midlands, I can't, you know, some of these other UK dialects I don't really know.
It doesn't have an American one, does it?
Yeah, English US. But what it kind of sounds like, it sounds like a BBC World News Service guy trying to be an American.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of silly. That's why I just leave it on UK.
Yeah.
Because I can't get over the, you know.
It's kind of like JAWS when it goes to other languages. They sort of sound like the other languages.
Sort of, but sort of maybe, kind of. I know some native speakers of, like, Czech who are on the Orca list. They can't stand it, and they just use English.
Rate, slider 60, alt R.
And rate.
Pitch, slider 5.0, volume, slider 10, punctuation level, reposited, table rows, progress bar updates, panel, enabled, checkbox checked.
Progress bar updates, you know, every 10 seconds.
Frequency text, 10, selected spin button.
Sends frequency sex. Yeah, 10 times a day, good for, you know.
Restrict to application, combo box.
Restrict to application, in other words, it's not going to read progress bars that are somewhere else. If you're focused on the website and you got a progress bar on your on a Nautilus window or you're burning a CD, it's not going to keep reading it. But it's restricted to the application to focus.
But you can
fix it so.
Yes, you could. Oh, yeah. Change the checkbox.
Speak multi-case string as words. Checkbox not check. Break speech into chunks between pauses. Say all my sentence. Comma. Speak blank lines. Checkbox check. Speak indentation and justification. Checkbox not check. Speak child physician. Check. Speak tutorial messages. Help. Button. Apply. Cancel. Okay. Button. Speak. Pay. Braille. Page.
Braille? I don't have a display, so I'm going to just skip that.
Key echo. Page.
Key echo? You have choices like...
Enable key echo. Checkbox checked. Enable alphanumeric and punctuation keys. Checkbox checked. Enable modifier keys. Checkbox not checked. Enable login keys. Checkbox not checked. Enable function keys. Enable action keys. Enable navigation keys. Enable non-space and critical keys. Checkbox not checked. Alt D.
I'm not quite sure what I'm doing when I play with that.
Which one?
Which ones are the modifier keys? Which keys?
Locking keys. And non-spacing diacritical keys might be some of them.
Enable echo my character. Checkbox not checked. Enable echo my word. Enable echo my sentence. Help. Button. Apply. Cancel. Okay. Key echo.
Now that's a little bit strange the way that works, because there's basically two echo by character settings. There's alphanumeric and then there's the other one, and I just leave it on alphanumeric. It does in space.
Magnifier, page.
Magnifier, well, we don't have a monitor, so I can't really.
Key bindings, page.
Key bindings is where you could, if you wanted to totally rebind Orca, if you wanted, you can go in here and edit.
Auto modifier key S, caps underscore lock, combat function, column header.
Here's a table.
Key binding, cop function, column. Function column header order. Expanded 57 item selected. Bookmark where am I with respect to current position. Alt underscore L plus shift plus 1 alt underscore L plus shift plus 6 modified. Checkbox not checked. Tree level 2. Go to bookmark. Orca plus 1 orca. Performs left click on current flat review item. Orca plus 7 modified. Performs right click on current flat review item. Orca plus 8 modified. Groups the pointer to the current item. Orca plus 9 modified. Add bookmark. Orca plus alt underscore L plus 1 orca plus alt underscore L plus 6 modified.
Okay, those are your place markers. I can show that better in another. There's also an Orca learn mode, where if you do Orca H and you hit any key, it tells you what it does without doing it. Kind of like Jaws help.
Help button. Alt H.
O-R-C-A. Like the whale. The killer whale.
Apply, butter, cancel, okay, yeah. Butter, key bindings, page, pronunciation, page.
Pronunciation.
Text attributes, page.
Text attributes,
general, page.
General, we're back to general. I'm going to cancel, because I don't want to change my language to who knows where that box is right now. I'm just going to cancel that.
/magnifier, frame, preferences, button, alt B.
Let me see what other things I've got open. Alt tab cycles among the stuff that's open.
Bing.fm/your/Mozilla Firefox.
Oh, there's a Firefox already open, good.
/magnifier.
I was going to show, also, there are some additional Orca keys that Vinix defines that are on the Orca key, for example, and I changed a couple in this Python script. For example, Orca W gives me just a very quick weather summary.
It is currently 35 degrees and mostly cloudy.
Orca T is the time.
3:26 p.m.
Orca T twice is the date.
3 Saturday, February 12, 2011.
Orca B, I had to move it because it conflicted with something else. Orca B tells the battery.
Battery 0 for 100%.
That's very important to me because I use this machine at Starbucks more than anywhere else. There's another very useful one that's not part of Orca standard bindings, but it's in Vinix. And it's Orca X I moved it to, which tells you the contents of the clipboard for copy and paste and cut. Now, that's one that for some reason Orca team didn't add, but one of the Vinix users wrote a set of customizations. And that's where this weather one, the short weather one came from, and the battery and some of these others. I'll use the where am I key, which is Orca slash.
/magnifier.
I'm in the Orca menu, the Orca window.
Bing.fm/your/Mozilla Firefox.
And Orca enter will show me what sort of control I happen to be on, if any.
Ping it. Button.
I'm on a button that says ping it. Orca enter is the here's what the current control or focused item does option. The Orca learn mode has two modes. There's continuous Orca learn mode, which if I do Orca H.
Entering learn mode. Press any key to deal with function. Select it learn mode. Press the escape key.
All right, let's do Orca.
Caps lock. Get current temperature and conditions.
See, Orca W, I'm in learn mode.
Caps lock. Speaks and Braille's battery status.
Speaks and Braille's battery.
Caps lock. Speaks and Braille's clipboard contents.
Speaks and Braille's clipboard contents. That's in Orca learn mode. To get out of there, I hit escape.
Escape. Editing learn mode.
And now there's also a sort of list type learn mode that kind of is an easier way to get to the key bindings. If I do Orca enter twice.
Empty list shortcuts mode. Press 1 for Orca's default shortcuts. Press 2 for Orca's shortcuts for the current application. Press escape to edit.
2 for... Let's do Firefox's, for example, because Firefox has some unique ones that are specific to Firefox. So we'll do 2.
For 2. 77 Orca shortcuts for Firefox found. Use up and down arrow to navigate the list. Press escape to edit. Goes to next heading at level 1. 1. Goes to next heading at level 2. 2. Goes to next heading at level 3. 3. Goes to next heading at level 4. 4. Goes to next heading at level 5. 5. Goes to next heading at level 6. 6. Goes to next anchor. A. Causes the current combo box to be expanded. Alt underscore L plus down.
That's how it says alt left arrow. It's alt underscore L. And then it says for alt left.
Goes down one cell. Alt underscore L plus shift plus down. Goes to the last cell in the table. Alt underscore L plus shift plus END.
It specifies the left alt, but the right should work too, if you have one.
Goes to the first cell in the table. Alt underscore L plus shift plus home. Goes left one cell. Alt underscore L plus shift plus left. Goes right one cell. Alt underscore L plus shift plus right. Goes up one cell. Alt underscore L plus shift plus up. Go to the next button, B. Advanced Live Region Provider Setting, backslash.
Now, I don't know what support JAWS and the like have for these live regions and ARIA bookmarks, ARIA landmarks, but there's some live region support commands here in Orca, like...
Go to the next, Advanced Live Region Provider Setting, backslash.
Advance the Live Region Politeness Setting. I assume that when you code these live regions, which, by the way, are page contents that upload that change without refreshing the whole page, I assume that when you define it, you can set a politeness level, below which Orca won't try to speak that just because it changed.
Go to the next checkbox, C. Go to the next combo box, comma. Go to the bottom of the file, control plus end. Go to the top of the file, control goes to previous word, control plus left. Go to the next word, go to the next line region, go to the next line, down. Go to the next line region, D. Go to the next line, down. Go to the next entry, E. Go to the end of the line, end. Go to the next heading, H. Go to the beginning of the line, home. Go to the next list item, I. Go to the next list, L. Go to the previous character, left. Go to next, large dot, move focus into and away from, go to next, large object, O. Move focus into and away from the current mouse over, Orca plus zero.
I've never used that command, Orca plus zero. It's supposed to bring focus into or out of the mouse over.
Review live region announcement, Orca plus F1.
Orca F1 reviews live region announcement. So if a live region said something and you missed it, you...
Switches between get donated and Orca carrot navigation, Orca plus F12.
Okay, you'll never change this. You keep it on Orca carrot navigation for best results. The other choice is Gecko native.
Go to the previous object, Orca plus left. Go to the next object, Orca plus right.
Now, I'm not sure what the difference is between object and large object, because O goes between large objects and Shift O. And this Orca left and right is for object.
Monitor live regions. Orca plus shift plus backslash.
And Orca shift backslash, that's a toggle. Turns off, on or off, monitoring of live regions.
Go to previous form field. Orca plus shift plus DAB. Go to next form field. Orca plus tab. Toggle structural navigation keys. Orca plus net. Go to next paragraph. D. Go to next radio button. Period. Go to next lock quote. Q. Go to next character. Right. Go to next separator. S. Go to previous heading at level 1, shift plus 1.
Okay, so we got all that stuff.
Editing list shortcuts mode.
I escaped to get out of that. It just indicates that you can shift all of those to reverse them. Now, one thing that, you know, a lot of people don't seem to like, there's no element list like the VoiceOver web item rotor, but you can navigate by all these things, like link, or like visited link, unvisited link, list, list item, table. You can navigate by all this stuff, but there's no thing that aggregates them and collects them. And I think that has to do with the way Orca was designed. It's a design decision they made that they would have the browser drive Orca rather than the other way around. So I think, I guess one of their criticisms is that it does result in some overhead and slowness, because there's a lot of inter-process communication going on that wouldn't be otherwise. There's no virtual buffer in this, by the way.
Can you actually launch a program and show how it works?
Sure. I got a Firefox open now. We can go to a site.
L, search for Fox and system. V, R-E-U-T. Autocomplete. Finish loading VBUG, visually impaired and blind user group. Welcome to VBUG. Heading level 1. Welcome to VBUG. Heading level 1.
Okay, I've got automatic reading turned off, so it just stops there. But I can down arrow and I can...
VBUG is the visually impaired and blind user group, serving blind and visually impaired computer users primarily in Massachusetts. VBUG membership costs $20 a year. You may join VBUG by coming to a meeting and paying your dues by...
I can also do... For instance, I could search by links only. I can use Firefox native commands here. For example, I can do apostrophe.
Quote. Click find links only. Test.
And I can search for...
D-I-R-E-T-D-I-O-N-S. Follow this link for... Directions to the VBUG meeting room at MIT. Link. Finish loading directions to VBUG meeting room. MIT building 5. Room 134. Skipping out directions. Link.
That's a same page link that would do what you might expect.
When getting off the inbound bus. Heading level 1.
Now, yeah. Does Firefox have a thing like in Windows where you can just tab from link to link?
Oh, yeah.
You can, although I've run into problems.
I'll hit tab.
Go to main directions. Link. Return to VBUG homepage. Link.
Can you see a list of headings slash...
Well, that's what I was saying. There isn't a list, but you can navigate by them. For instance, if I hit H, I can navigate by headings.
Skipping out.
If there are any.
H, when getting off the inbound bus heading towards Boston, heading level 1. H, then getting off the outbound bus heading away from Boston, link heading level 1. H, from street level at 77 Massachusetts Avenue, heading level 1.
They happen to all be heading level 1, but I can hit H and eventually it'll wrap around.
H, wrapping to top, when getting off the inbound bus heading towards Boston, heading level 1.
It went back to the first one. So that's heading. I could also do by lists. There probably aren't any.
L, wrapping to top, no more lists.
And unfortunately it wrapped to the top. It didn't wrap to where I was. And list items, there won't be any. I can do alt left arrow to go back.
Loading, please wait. Finish loading the visual impact.
There's the website homepage. I can do Orca tab to move by form field and Orca shift tab to move back by form field.
Wrapping to top. No more form fields.
But there aren't any.
Now, if you were to say go to stream, say, one of the meetings.
Yeah, to listen, yes.
To listen, what would open up as your player? Or how would it determine what would open up as your...
I think it would be something you would set in Firefox's preferences.
Mm-hmm.
I have the default set probably to... Well, to stream, I don't know. Let me see.
Welcome to VBUG. VBUG is the visual impact.
Let me go and look for that.
Join the VBUG mailing. President has signed VBUG. Connections to the middle of meeting. President has signed middle
of
meeting.
Now, can you do a find command the way you can?
Oh, yeah. I did one defined by links only. I can
do... can you do a find? Like, could you find a word on that page?
Yes. I could do slash. That's a Firefox native command. You hit slash, and it does an incremental find.
Control
F should work, too.
But Orca has its own find command, right?
Orca has a find command for where whatever screen it's on, whether it's Firefox
or
not.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's really not too awfully useful. I've never found a use for it.
Well, yeah, because you have a find command in Firefox itself.
Firefox.
But
yeah.
I wouldn't know if the screen Orca's screen equals page, so I'd rather find the page anyway.
Well, it should, because it doesn't model the screen. It's getting it directly from Firefox, so it should be the same. There's no virtual buffer stuff. Wherever possible, Orca uses native functions. They don't define a whole lot of screen reader specific things. They like to use, you know, wherever they can, they use the native capabilities of GNOME or whatever the app is. So that's a design philosophy decision they made, that they wouldn't, you know, but it's at the same time, it's scriptable if you know Python.
Can you go to the meeting page and stream one of the meetings?
Let's see what it does.
Listen to past VidHub demonstrations.
There you go.
Loading.
Yep.
Please wait. Listen to VidHub demonstrations page. VidHub demonstrations. Heading level 1. Finish loading. Listen to VidHub demonstrations. The downloads page at www.upradio.org. Link. Go to the most recent. December 2010. Link.
All right. Here we go. December vote of 2010. Hit it.
December 2010 VidHub meeting. Link.
You are now at the heading that says December 2010. So
yeah, let me go down.
Bullet. Michael Uecker and Jason Hanna discuss their project that combines. Link.
Okay.
Michael
Uecker
and Jason Hanna discuss their project that combines.
Or the way that particular one, there's only one link for December. I'm trying to remember what I coded there. So you
Bullet.
Might have to be
VidHub members
talk
about their favorite sites for shopping online during. Link.
Work.
VidHub members talk about their favorite sites for shopping online during the holidays. Link.
VidHub members talk about their favorite sites.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they are separate then. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Don Breda. Let's
hit that one.
Loading. Please wait. Opening VBG 1110-1.3U. You have chosen to open VBG 1110-1.3U, which is a from http://www.
Okay. It's an M3U. That's a playlist. I should be able to choose here what app to run.
Movie player default. Combo box.
The default is movie player. Let's see what my other choices are.
Taste. Movie player default.
No, I guess it's just movie player.
Taste. Yep. Choose help of application. Dialog. File. Cancel. Button. Open. Button.
What I would normally do is I would save this link and then open it in Rhythmbox. But
taste.
So let's see if Totem opens. Let's see.
Choose help of application.
Oh.
Type a file name. Toggle.
I don't
want to. Button. Day. Top. Yahtzee. Top. Underscore places. Color.
Oh, I don't want to be in this.
Choose help of application. Cancel. Button.
I don't want to be in that dialogue.
Firefox. Application. Stop script. Button. Taste. Opening VBG 1110-1.10.3U. You have chosen to open VBG. Do this automatically for files. Cancel. Button. Okay. Button. Taste. Download /dmp/vbg1110-1.10.3U could not be opened because the associated helper application does not exist. Change the association in your preferences. Okay.
What?
Button.
I thought I had it with Toast Totem.
Taste. Listen to VidHub demonstrations. Mozilla Firefox. Frame. Don Breda demonstrates Pandora, an internet music streaming service. Link. Norman Apple demonstrates Catch the Bus. Link. Loading. Please. Opening VBG 1110-2.10.3U. You have...
All right, let's...
Movie player default. Combo box.
Movie player is the default.
Do this automatically for files like this. Cancel. Button. Okay. Button. Taste. Listen to VidHub demonstrations. Mozilla Firefox. Frame. Norman Apple demonstrates. Catch
here
the
we
bus.
Go.
Link. Movie player. Frame. Full screen. Button.
Nora, do you want to come up here?
Paddle. Catch the bus. Double.
So this is Catch the Bus, the new application that supposedly tracks GPS little devices that are on each individual MBTA bus.
And I can use...
Figure out when the next bus is going to show up at your stop.
I'm using up and down arrow to change the volume.
Change the volume.
For just movie player.
Right.
So the main page...
Catch the Bus. Routes. Routes. Heading.
So the first section...
Routes. Heading.
Is the routes.
Catch the Bus.
And it lists all the routes.
Listen to
the
demonstrations.
You can go into
Firefox.
Each
listen
route
to...
by number. It lists every single stop on the route, and I mean every single one. And what you can do is select yours.
Now, can you with movie player? Can you go ahead? Can you jump ahead?
Makes it much easier.
Yeah.
It will add it
right
to
arrow.
The
right. Okay.
I don't want to go too far because then it'll panic.
Right. Right. So
as
so,
it is, it's probably starting to buffer and it's
so
crash.
So could you set this up so it would automatically know that it would? I mean, so
I could have told
automated.
It. I could have told it do this, do it for this. You know, do this for files like this from now on. I could
right.
Check.
So it would just be an automatic process.
I'll just quit. Control Q to quit.
So you really have to customize all this stuff to the way you want it, as opposed to. I mean.
But that's a Firefox thing, Tim.
But that's Firefox. That has nothing to do with Orca. That's Firefox. You run Firefox and Windows, it's going to be the same way. It's going to ask you what it's going to ask you what app, what helper app you want to use if you haven't done it before. So that has nothing. That's Firefox. That's Mozilla. That's not GNOME.
Let's say you wanted to do some complex formatting in a document. Can you do that under this system?
You can use LibreOffice Write, which is the Word equivalent, and you can have it speak your text attributes and your indentation and all that stuff. There are specific hotkeys for it, and on the Orca website, there are documented hotkeys for dealing with format charts, all that stuff. You can also use other tools to do it. If you don't want to use a WYSIWYG type tool, you can use markup languages. One that we like to use in the Vinix document project, we like to use something called Markdown, which can create PDF, HTML, rich text, but you do it all with markup language, and you do it in TextEdit.
Sounds like you need to be a programmer.
No, you don't need to be a programmer to know that a star to the left of an item is a, you know, makes it a bulleted item.
How is this Markdown different than, like, LaTeX?
It's a simplified version. It doesn't do as much as LaTeX.
Okay.
It's just a quickie version for creating rich text, simple PDF, HTML. But it uses a style sheet to render HTML from it.
Now, I realize this is a complex, this is a specific question, but do you happen to know, you were mentioning scientific and educational software. Do you happen to know if there's any accessibility yet for MATLAB? Or I know with Windows it's very easily usable, but
I don't know about the Linux or OS X version, for that matter.
Oh, well, I tried to use it. Didn't
work, at
least when I used it. Okay. Did you say it works in Windows?
Yeah. Oh.
MATLAB. Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. You could use either, I mean, for simple enough things, you could just use LibreOffice Calc, which is a spreadsheet.
Yeah. I've been doing research over at MIT, and I know it's highly utilized for scientific. For
yeah, I know it is. Well, you could probably use other tools. There might be something you could do with... you might have to program something. You might have to whip up some code to do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm taking actually the now a MATLAB programming class.
Well, no, you might have to do it in another language, like Python or something. Or Fortran, depending on what kind of numerical horsepower you need. It might be better off. There's another calculator in text mode called BC that you can write scripts. It's kind of like a programmable calculator. You could do quite a bit with that. You run it in the terminal. It's called BC, and you give it an expression, and it evaluates it immediately. Or you can save it and write it, make a script out of a bunch of them.
Yeah, that's good to know for the purposes of this like specific course I'm taking.
You might be able to. And you probably need to use what you need to use, but I mean, if for your own purposes, if you wanted to use another tool, you could probably use BC, or you could use, another sort of mid-level programming language to do your processing.
I suppose Vinix and I guess Ubuntu in general, how's it handle hardware drivers?
Oh, it's gotten a whole lot better than 5 years ago, I'd say. It handles a ton of hardware now that's supportable out of the box, unlike early Vinices or Linuxes that didn't, where you had to build your kernel. You don't have to do that anymore most of the time. Ubuntu has a very nice hardware drivers wizard that'll come up. If it finds something for which it doesn't yet have a driver, it'll come up. And if there is one in the Ubuntu repositories, it'll get it and put it in. I have another machine, a Dell Inspiron, that has a Broadcom Wi-Fi card in it. And when I put Ubuntu on that, soon after install, when I rebooted it, it came up and said, I found a Broadcom Wi-Fi card. Do you want the driver for it? And it put it in. And then I never had to touch it again.
So it's the bare minimum that it would have to recognize to just sound card driver and
Well, the very absolute minimum, it's got to be able to recognize the sound card, or else you're not going to be able to do any speech. I mean, you could have Braille, I suppose. If you had a USB Braille display hooked up at the time, you'd have something. And you'd have to fall back probably to the console to get things started in that case. Or maybe, you could have Orca Braille support run the hardware wizard might launch. If you had some weird sound card for which Ubuntu didn't have a driver stock, on the CD, that it had to go out.
Like a lot of the Creative Labs, Creative Labs has like 50 different, say, sound cards, for example.
Right. The same driver might drive them all, though.
Yeah.
The same Ubuntu driver might handle half of them or more. Maybe it won't be optimal. There might be certain there might be some special things it won't do, in which case you'd want to get another driver. But you'd have a safe driver that you could run.
Some of the programs you mentioned, like Libre, and there was one that's sort of like Excel.
Well, those are part of LibreOffice.
Well, okay. Oh, I see.
LibreOffice is a drop-in replacement for Microsoft Office.
How do they work together? Like, if you wrote files on those programs, are are they easy to see in other operating systems like Microsoft Office?
Well, you could do two things. You could save as Microsoft Office something from LibreOffice, right? There's an OpenOffice plugin, I think, for Microsoft Office that'll read open document format stuff.
Sort
of. So you'd be better off going the other way then, I guess.
I'm just thinking, because somebody who wrote a document with one program understand the document written?
Well, to some extent, I mean, there's always a problem with that. You can have problems among different versions of Microsoft Word, for that matter. It's reasonable, I think. I mean, if somebody wrote something and saved it as Word 97, maybe, or as Word 2000, I don't know, it's a particular one, that you know that you could also open, you should be okay. Or if it doesn't need anything that's Microsoft Word specific, you're better off saving as a simpler format like rich text.
I would imagine it depends on how fancy you try to get
within
a word processor.
That's what I'm saying. If you want to, it depends. If you don't need something that's MS Word absolutely specific, save as rich text.
Well, there's a problem where if you're trying to read a newer version of Word, if I have 2003, if I try to read something from 2007 or whatever, it can get pretty weird.
I know. It's among different versions of the same product, in their case. And in general, I prefer to edit in environments that aren't WYSIWYG. I guess I'm just weird. I like things like Markdown instead. I seem to have a better sense of what I'm going to end up with.
Now, with Markdown, do you have to know HTML to use Markdown?
No, you don't. It creates it.
So you just say, I want a heading here, or I want a link here, or I want a...
Yeah, you use their you know, you put their designation for it. You still have to know their designation, but it's not HTML. It's like, for example, if you want to do a bulleted list, all you have to do is put a column of things with a star before each one. And it'll take that whole thing...
And show it and
make it
as a bullet.
Yeah, and the same with a numbered list. If you do a column of things with, you know, one period space something, two period space something,
mm-hmm.
everything till the next blank line... It's going to come up as an ordered list, and if you change the order, you don't have to worry about rewrite. You know, it'll
and
just.
And how
do
would
it.
You, if you want something as a link? What's?
I think it's the link text in brackets followed by parentheses with the URL in it, and then when it gets rendered as a link.
Have you tried any success with Peapod? Because I have tried repeatedly on the Linux box, tried to shop there. And
let's do it now. Let's see what it looks like. I've never been there.
EA. Autocomplete. Prompt Depot Online Grocery Shopping and Delivery Service page. Product stop depot.com link image. Finish loading Depot Online Grocery Shopping and Delivery Service. Product stop depot.com link image.
Okay, well, that's a link. Let's see what we got. I'll tab.
Product stop depot.com link image. www.itemaster.com link image. Toby.depot.com link image. Username. Text. Password. http://i4.depot.com/c/ed/lab.div button.
Now, that's probably the sign-in button.
That's your
button.
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
Save my username and password. Checkbox checked.
Yeah.
Forgot username. Link. Forgot password. Link. Consumer index. Link. Image.
Consumer index link image.
Merchant index. Link. Groceries for your home. Link. Groceries for your business. Link. Company and careers. Link.
All right, let's go back one and hit...
Groceries for your business. Link. 98%. Finish loading. Welcome to Depot.
Oh, it might not
be... Depot. New to Depot.
It might not let me do anything until I log in.
Please
enter your TED ID code and click go.
Oh, now it
zip code. https://i4.depot.com/c/eb/lab. Already a customer. Click here. Link.
Okay.
Because it needs the zip code to probably pull up to right.
Pull up what's available.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Al, maybe you should use... What Orca are you using?
2.32 or something like that.
Oh, I'm using... I'm using 2.91.6, and they've made a lot of improvements in Mozilla. In particular, T-Bird, the lists work really well now. The message lists and the...
Linux or that just come with the updates?
Neither. I built it from source. That's not as daunting as it sounds. They've really automated the process. You inflate a tarball archive.
I thought Ubuntu didn't come with GCC.
It does.
I didn't think it came with the make utilities.
Of course it does.
All you do is... I mean, no, it doesn't come...
Sudo... Okay, build essential was already here when I put Vinix in.
You said a tarball, like, what the...
Okay, it's an archive. It's like a zip archive. You know, it's got a ton of files in it and folders. You know, you untar it, as they say. Just to sum up, I've got a Twitter client on here that I use too often. It's called TTYTur. But there's an easier option called the AccessibleTwitter.com website, which is very nice. It's AccessibleTwitter, one word. There is no Qitter for Linux yet, or I don't know whether there will ever be. I have with me a CD, if anyone wants to, if the archive wants it, or if somebody want to borrow it and burn one or whatever, of Vinux 3.1, which is based on Ubuntu 10.10. Now, I'm using a prior Ubuntu because I like 10.04 better, the long-term stable release. But that's Ubuntu's weird release cycle. They come up with a new release about every 6 months. About one of every three is what they call a long-term stable that they'll support for years.
I mean, this whole thing just seems very anarchical. I guess that's the way I'd describe it. Who in the community determines, you know, what the best release is to use, or is it just basically all up to personal preference that, you know, you want to use this release and somebody else wants to use a later release? And
Ubuntu is probably the most popular distro because of its ease of setting it up and using it, and, you know, it looks really nice compared to other ones and out of the box. So, I mean, there's a bit of market action here. You know, Ubuntu is probably going to be the, you know, Ubuntu is the one that people are using in schools, and I work with this project that's using it, orphans in Mexico to use, that can't afford licenses for Windows. It's this Proyecto Chispa is a group, you know, that does it. We take donated laptops and we put Ubuntu on them. I heard some rumors about the Indian government sending some money Ubuntu's or Linux's way for development. Or
now, what happened to Red Hat and all?
It's around. Fedora is out there still, and it's got its loyalists.
Red Hat is primarily used...
Red Hat's enterprises. Enterprise... Yeah. Red Hat's a big enterprise distro now.
But at a certain level, the stuff is pretty widely...
But it's all the same. It's all standard. The kernel is the same, whether you're running Ubuntu or... Orca is the same across the board.
So, David, if we were to take this disk that you have...
Throw it in a machine.
Put it in the machine.
Boot from the CD.
Would we then have the choice of doing some of the things you said earlier, of installing it as a guest OS on a Windows machine, or...
Install it as a guest, you kind of have to set up VMware yourself. And I don't, you know, that goes beyond what I know how to do.
So I guess what I'm asking
is...
But you can just run it as a live CD. Or if you prefer, my recommendation would be to create a USB bootable volume off the CD, which you can do. There's a tool right on it. Create a bootable USB, give it some persistent storage, and run that.
What's going to be the consequence if I take that CD and put it in my machine? What's going to happen?
It's going to spin up. It's going to start talking. You're going to hear some speak-up voices first, and then Orca's going to come up. You're going to have a desktop. You're going to have, you know, you're going to be running Linux, but as a CD. You'll be fine. It won't touch your Windows volume.
No, because, I mean, I think people need to know this kind of thing. If you're going to put something in your machine, you don't want to end up somewhere where you can't get back.
If you run a live CD session, you can't do anything to your... I mean, if you do Super User, you can. You go to a terminal and run Super User, you could mount your NTFS volume and break it if you wanted to. But you'd have to go out of your way to do it. You could just play with Linux and tour it without ever touching it, your hard drive. My advice would be to make a bootable USB off of it. I brought one of them, too. It's got some persistent storage on it. Run the bootable USB. You can even save some settings and some apps and stuff, and it will not touch your hard drive. You could put that on any machine you wanted, and it would just run. And when you shut it off, your hard drive would never know it was on there.
David, I want to thank you very much. This is really interesting.